Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, or good afternoon. Welcome to PKN Orlen conference call, which will be discussing the full year 2005 audited results. The presentation for you will be delivered by Mr. Paweł Szymański, CFO of our company. Following the presentation, we'll open the floor for Q&A session. I do believe that one-hour slot will be more than enough for our meeting. However, we are obviously at your service and flexible with time. Without any further delay, I hand over to Mr. Paweł Szymański.
Thank you, Dariusz. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I do hope that you have the presentation that we put together for you for today in front of you, that you successfully managed to download it from our webpage. I will be referring to the slides in the presentation. I would like to start off with highlighting the key elements from the P&L statement from our 2005 numbers and compare them to the numbers that we actually published in March with regards to the quarterly numbers. As you can see here, there is a slight difference between the numbers. In terms of EBITDA, the difference amounts to about 69 million zlotys. The EBITDA after the full year is actually lower by 69 million zlotys. The net profit is down by 86 million. And this is to the base of 6,728 million zlotys at the EBITDA level and 4,638 million zlotys at the net profit level, so that the differences are not overly high. They are related basically to the final price adjustment, not price adjustment, but negative goodwill calculation adjustment that we promised we would finalize by the end of the period. We can actually confirm that we have done that, and the negative goodwill calculation has been now completed. It is actually lower from the previously published number by about 111 million zlotys, and I will be talking about the details of this calculation later on in my presentation. If you exclude the negative goodwill, we can actually see that the operating profit that actually amounted to 2,745 million zlotys was in fact slightly higher than what we published in the fourth quarter, numbers. And so was the cash flow. The operating cash flow amounted to 3,664 million zlotys finally after the audit, compared to the preliminary numbers that we published of 3,634 million. Just to finalize in terms of this slide, we actually confirmed that the cost-cutting program that we completed in 2005 amounted to 882 million zlotys, exactly the same amount that we published during our presentation with regards to the fourth quarter numbers. Now, we talked about the profits, and I think it's worth mentioning what the management plans to do with these profits. I think it's not going to be extremely new that we are in the process of bidding for Mažeikiai nafta, the refinery in Lithuania. And we do believe very strongly that this transaction, if successful, would be very beneficial to our shareholders. It would enhance value of the company, and therefore it is our preferred option. However, it has to be said that if we are to complete this transaction, and if we are to continue with our ambitious CapEx program that we also announced, we will not be able to pay dividends this year. Therefore, the management's proposal is to pay zero dividends if the transaction with Mažeikiai actually happens, or with regards to Mažeikiai actually happens. However, if we do not manage to complete this transaction successfully, we believe that, given our current capital structure and given the new dividend policy that we actually announced, we believe that it is warranted to actually apply the new dividend policy that we submit or that we presented to our shareholders at the beginning of this year, and actually pay 50% of the free cash flow to equity back to our shareholders. Just to give you an idea, this 50% of free cash flow to equity that actually includes the capital structure optimization would amount to 1.925 billion zlotys, which is an equivalent of about 76% of the net profits of the parent company, and it amounts to 4.5 zlotys per share, per every share in the company. And therefore, this is the proposal of the management. Just to recap, if the Mosaiki transaction happens, we suggest to pay zero dividends. If, however, it doesn't happen, we would like to pay 76% of the net profits out as dividends to our shareholders. Moving on to the next slide, this is the slide that actually talks about the final calculation of the negative goodwill. Let me start from the left side of the chart and give you the details. If you remember, we basically, starting from the third quarter numbers, we were saying that the negative goodwill after the initial revaluation of assets amounted to 2 billion and 6 million zlotys exactly. However, after auditing the opening balance at the beginning of June this year, there was a slight adjustment to the opening balance. The opening balance had the capitals lower by about 19 million zlotys. So as a result, the difference was actually higher, and therefore the negative goodwill after the revaluation of assets amounted to 2 billion and 25 million zlotys exactly. However, as you remember, hopefully, we also are saying that we have not completed the revaluation of assets of Česká Rafinerská at the time when we were publishing fourth quarter numbers. We promised we would complete this process by the end or by the time when we published the audit statement. We have actually succeeded in doing this. These revaluation of assets added about 126 million losses to the negative goodwill. However, at the same time, given the financial results of two Unibetrol subsidiaries, Kautschuk and Paramo, we decided to do the impairment tests in both companies. We asked the auditors, PricewaterhouseCoopers, to actually look at it, to do the test for us. And in fact, we did see the impairment of these two businesses that combined amounted to 258 million zlotys. So if you take these two effects into account and the slight impact of the retained profits at Unipetrol level, the actual final number in terms of the negative goodwill amounted to 1,894 million zlotys, and this is should be compared to about 1.6 billion based on the book value, historic book value of the Unipetrol Group. And I would like to reemphasize again, this is the final recalculation of the negative goodwill. This will all have an impact, or had an impact, on the 2005 numbers, and you will not see any effect of negative goodwill related to the 2006 numbers. We have cleared this, and now we are going on with the operational numbers for both PKN and Unipetrol. Moving on to the next slide, I think it's warranted to actually mention the other one of items that had an impact on our numbers. If you look at the right hand side of the slide, we are showing the positive impact of the negative goodwill. I talked about it, so I don't want to dwell on it. Other one of items were the provisions which had a negative impact on the P&L. Just to recap, 376 million related to our Czech assets, and this is the general risk or business risk provision. 166 million zlotys divided into the second and the fourth quarters related to the restructuring package. We are continuing with our restructuring program with regards to headcount, and we had to provide for it. And the last large item was related to Orlen Deutschland. We are basically cleaning up the books of Orlen Deutschland. These provisions should basically be enough to restructure the business and continue with a clean sheet, so to speak. Out of these, in the fourth quarter alone, we created 282 million zlotys in provisions, just to remind you. And this had a significant impact on 2005 fourth quarter numbers. If we were to take these away, the net profit, adjusted net profit, adjusted for these one-off items, would amount to 610 million zlotys. For the entire year, it would be 3,426 million zlotys exactly. Moving on to the next slide, the main items from the profit and loss statement and the differences between the fourth quarter numbers and the final full year numbers. In terms of the actual changes, as I said, the negative goodwill adjustment of minus 111. The hedging instruments, the fair value valuation of these instruments, there was a difference that was pointed out to us by the auditors to the tune of 26 million zlotys. Now, what I want to emphasize here is that we have not actually lost 26 million zlotys. It's just the fair value of the instrument is lower by 26 million zlotys compared to the fourth quarter numbers, but in the actual fact, there is a positive number of above 100 million zlotys in our financial numbers related to the hedging instruments. There was a change in provisions, some release of provisions at the group level, at the subsidiaries level, that combined amounted to 41 million zlotys, and there were other items, other sort of minor items that increased the profits to the tune of 11 million zlotys. What I think is important is to say that if you look at both the operating profits and net profits and compare the fourth quarter numbers and the full year numbers audited by our auditors, the difference is to the tune of 2%. And again, mainly should be attributed to the changes in the negative goodwill calculation. The one last thing I would like to mention here is a difference in the revenue line, but this is a purely presentation issue, because basically we brought Unipetrol's way of presenting the excise tax in line with our, i.e., PKN Orlen's accounting policy. Basically, Unipetrol presented the excise tax as part of the revenue. We, as PKN, we are taking it away from both the revenue and cost line, and therefore it's neutral for the operating profits. It just lowers or nets out the revenue line. Hence the difference of 1.6 billion zlotys on the revenue level. But as I said, it's purely a presentational issue. Moving on to the next slide. This is the slide that basically breaks down our operating profits by segments. We are adjusting these numbers in order to reflect the adjustments of the negative goodwill mainly. But also I think what is important is to draw your attention to the differences between the financial statements of Unipetrol as presented in the consolidated numbers of PKN relative or compared to the consolidated statements that Unipetrol publishes in Czech Republic. The difference is related to the international accounting standards, the IFRS standard number 3. This negative goodwill calculation, as you remember, was also related to the fact that we had to revalue Unipetrol's assets in order to reflect a fair market value of these assets. These related to PKN, to the purposes of PKN's consolidated numbers. It doesn't, however, mean that Unipetrol did the same. Unipetrol didn't, and therefore Unipetrol's assets are valued based on historical values. So there is a difference in the value of assets at the Unipetrol level and at the level of PKN consolidated numbers. If there is a difference in value of assets, there certainly is a difference in the value of depreciation related to these assets. And there is exactly, this is exactly the reason why the operating profits of Unipetrol in our books are not necessarily identical to the operational profits published by Unipetrol itself. The difference in depreciation is shown on the slide here, and you can see in the fourth quarter it actually related it actually amounted to 269 million zlotys for the entire period, for the entire 7 months during of which we consolidate Unipetrol, it amounted to 538 million zlotys. Now, this difference in depreciation will continue because Unipetrol doesn't have a reason, according to international accounting standards, to revalue its assets. We, as PKN, had a reason to do that for the purpose of consolidation. So there will be a continuing discrepancy in the numbers, and if I could please ask you to take this into account when doing the modeling going forward. The last slide that I would like to talk about is the macroeconomic environment. And I think we discussed this at length when talking about our full year numbers at the time when we published the quarterly figures. But I think it would be interesting to actually have a look at how these macroeconomic conditions developed going into the first quarter of 2006. And as you can see here on this chart, the Euro-Brent differential was actually down by 29% year-on-year compared to the first quarter of 2005. The refinery margin was actually down by about 30% compared to last year's corresponding period of last year. In terms of the currency, it was zloty was relatively strong throughout the quarter, which didn't, you know, help our numbers either. So I think it's fair to say that the macroeconomic conditions were unfavorable, and I think on top of this, we had a very, very strong winter, especially in January and beginning of February, which did have an impact on our product slate. Basically, we did not receive enough of natural gas, and as a result, we were unable to desulfur enough crude oil, and were forced to produce heavy heating oil in larger quantities or larger volumes relative to the optimal product slate, and we were producing less petrochemical products. And, you know, at the end of the day, if there is so cold outside, you need more energy to actually heat your installation. So it did have an impact on our numbers. Now, it has to be said that these weak, relatively weak macroeconomic conditions have a seasonal pattern to it. First quarter, as you can see on this chart, is usually weak. It's just that in the first quarter of 2006, this dip seems to have been much deeper than usually, and it has to be taken into account. But we are not at this stage considering serious revision of our macroeconomic assumptions for the entire year. We are seeing a bounce especially in the Brent Euro differential. It has been improving significantly in March and April especially, and therefore we do believe that going forward, the macroeconomic conditions do not necessarily have to be significantly worse than what we are envisaging in our numbers. It's just that the first quarter was impacted more heavily than we expected before. On the other hand, it has to be said that we do see the impact of the cost control. The costs were well under control, and the volume development was also positive in the first quarter. So the first quarter is going to be a mixture, basically, of different factors having an impact on our numbers. And this is the end of my presentation. I hope you found it useful. If you do have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask. I'll try and answer.
Thank you. Operator, we are ready to take the questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or a comment, please press number 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel, press the hash or the pound key. Once again, it's number 1 to register and the hash or the pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence online until the questions are registered. Once again, it's number one to register and hash or the pound key to cancel. Our first question comes from Mr. Robert Ressi. Please announce your company and location and go ahead.
Yes, hi, it's Robert Ressi from CIB. Just one quick question on this dividend and Mosaico transaction. Can you tell us how the timetable looks like for the deal, and also if you set a date for your AGM? I just wondering if there is enough time to see to the deal to conclude before you actually arrive at the AGM date. And also, I mean, as I understand, there could be serious legal complications regarding the transactions related to the UCOS bankruptcy procedure. Thank you.
Well, you're absolutely right. The transaction is extremely complicated. There has been a court case in the U.S. There is a court case in the U.S. that basically placed a temporary injunction on UCOS's assets. This has not been resolved yet. As I understand, it is going to be resolved next week. The final ruling of the court is going to be issued next week. But coming back to your question, there is no official timetable. It's very difficult to say what the timetable is. Very much will depend on what the government of Lithuania decides, because if you look at the part of the transaction that is related to the government, obviously the government has has certain procedures that it has to follow, and as I understand, there has to be an approval from the parliament. So assuming that we get to this stage, because it's not certain at this moment, so assuming that we get to this stage, it may take a month, it may take longer. I cannot honestly tell you how long it is going to take. But certainly, by the end of June, or second half of June, we will know much more than what we know, compared to what we know right now. And I think it's the second part, to answer the part of your question. There is no specific date for the EGM, but it is going to be in the second half of June. What I can say is that at the end of the day, the decision with regards to the dividend payout lies in the hands of shareholders. So they will have to decide. Hopefully, by the time of the general shareholder meeting, we will know enough. We, as a management and investors and shareholders, will know enough to make an educated decision with regards to dividends. We are obviously discussing different scenarios with lawyers in order to be able to suggest the resolutions that would allow for the closure of the transaction if we know that it is very likely to happen, but it hasn't happened at the time. Will not have happened at the time of the general shareholder meeting. I know it's not a very precise answer, but unfortunately, I told you everything I know at this stage with regards to timing.
No, that's very helpful. Actually, just one more question on dividends. Do I understand correctly that management intends to link dividend payments to free cash flow generation in the future? I mean, you don't mind it's like dividend per share is fluctuating pretty heavily.
We basically described our suggested dividend policy in January when we were discussing the strategy update. But in short, yes, we want to base our dividend payouts based on the free cash flow to equity, i.e. the cash flow, the net profit plus depreciation, less the working capital changes, less the CapEx planned, potentially M&A transaction, but also transactions, but also the optimization of capital. You know, when we are talking about our current gearing of 17%, it's clear that we are undergeared, under leveraged. and we would like to change that. And I think this proposal that we are suggesting right now goes in that direction. If we pay most of our profits in dividends, if Mosaiki doesn't happen, obviously, then we would improve our net debt to equity ratio and optimize, at least partially optimized, our weighted average cost of capital. This is exactly what we would like to achieve because we believe it adds value to shareholders.
Okay, well, I can sympathize with this. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's number one to register and the hash or the pound key to cancel. The next question comes from Bram Buring. Please announce your company and location and go ahead with your question.
Hi, I'm Bram Buring from Wooden Company in Prague. Will the decision on dividends, which is connected to Mazeku, have any impact on whether you will pay dividends from Unipetrol or not?
The short answer is no.
Thank you. Longer answer?
Longer answer, no, it won't have any impact.
Okay, thanks. Cheers.
Once again, it's number one on your telephone keypad if you want to ask a question. And we have a follow-up question from Mr. Rethi. Mr. Rethi, please go ahead.
Just one more, please. This is on Unipetrol. Can you update us what's going on with the lawsuits or the different legal attacks from Agrofert on Unipetrol particular, not on PKN, and if there's going to be like any provisioning need to cover potential liabilities with this one?
We described it. I don't know whether you gentlemen had enough time to actually read the notes in the statements themselves. We are describing the issue of DESA because I presume you're relating to this DESA issue.
Yeah.
You're referring to this DESA issue. Well, the situation is as follows. Unipetrol's management, to be precise, actually asked the local or regional court in Ostrava in Czech Republic to actually rule whether these agreements with DESA with regards to Agrobohemia and Aliahem were actually valid, given what we believe significant formal faults to this agreement. At the same time, DESA submitted a counterclaim in the court in Prague, asking the court to rule in favor of DESA, i.e., instructing us, or Unipetrol, to actually deliver the assets to conclude the agreement. The court in Ostrava ruled that because there is a larger case that relates to the same agreement in Prague, the court in Ostrava is not going to look into the matters. It is going to refer the case to the court in Ostrava. And this is exactly what happened with regards to our case in Ostrava. So it's not that we lost. The court has not basically looked into the matter. So now we are faced with the court ruling in Prague, and as we understand, the case may take a long time. Now, in terms of the provisions or potential provisions, the provisions that we could potentially create relate to the penalty clause that is embedded in the agreement, that is included in the agreement. However, it's extremely difficult to actually put a finger on the actual value of these penalties, simply because they are calculated on a daily basis. And given the fact that the lawyers and all the legal opinions that we have do not give sufficient probability, i.e. the probability of us losing the case is not higher than 50%, from the accounting perspective, we are not able to create provisions. We are not able to put the number. We are not able to say that there is sufficient probability that we are going to lose this case. Therefore, there is no provision. Because I think it's important to actually separate two issues. First is the issue of the penalty clause related to the agreement itself, and the second provision, potential provision, to the loss of value with regards to the assets themselves. There is no reason for us, there is no legal grounds for us to actually claim that we are going to lose money on it. What we may lose money on is the penalty clauses, but we have no sufficient grounds to create provisions. So the answer to your question, we are writing about this as in the financial statement as a significant risk to the company, but we are not able to estimate the value of these provisions, and therefore there is no provisions in the books right now. And frankly, it's going to be difficult to create these provisions throughout the year, because what the lawyers are telling us is that the case may take a long time.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Mr. Prabhu Kumaran. Please announce your company and location.
Hi, I'm from Leaside Research, Toronto, Canada. I would like to know, should I expect any cost cutting for the year 2006? Should I see, what is the number, if it is going to be, for the year 2006?
The answer is yes. Because as you know, we completed the cost-cutting program in 2005, but at the same time we actually initiated another program that is basically aiming at reducing the cost base by another 600 million zlotys cumulatively by the year 2009, out of which in 2006 the reduction should reach about 210 million zlotys. And it's obviously recurrent, i.e. these 210 should be seen in 2007 and onwards as well.
And a follow-up on, like, what's your full-year guidance on EBITDA for 2006? Is it about 6 billion zlotys?
No, what we gave as a guidance is that in the stable macroeconomic conditions, i.e. comparable numbers, the EBITDA should go up by 15%. It should increase by at least 15%.
16% over 2005, that's the...
Yes.
Without the goodwill number?
Yes, that's without the goodwill number. You're absolutely right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Marksky.
Mr. Grembush, gentlemen, we seem to have no further questions at that time. I hand the conference back to you.
Thank you, operator. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in our conference call. I do believe that you have benefited from discussion of our audited results. We were happy also to conclude the closing of Unipetrol shares purchase transaction settlement, as promised earlier, that we'll do it within the 2005 accounting year. And I do believe also that recalling the one-offs which were especially in the fourth quarter accumulated in our results was also beneficial recalling for you. Taking the opportunity of this call, let me invite you also to our site visit, which we are planning to have at our premises in Poland. And the date scheduled for this event is 28th of June. So please kindly mark the date. Majority of you shall receive the invitation which we were, the initial invitation which we were distributing over our distribution list. If somebody is missing that, please drop me an email at ir@orlen.pl, and you will get the Mark the Day invitation, which will be followed by detailed information in a due time. So once again, welcome to the site visit at our premises in June, 28th of June. Thank you very much. This concludes our today's conference call, and operator, we are ready to close the session. Thank you.